you. During these 22 minutes that we have prior to the break, obviously we're going to be focused on the Word of God in the next session, but I'm going to give you a little bit of an update on what's happening across the world, and also for a few reasons, what you can pray effectively, but and maybe even more than that, I try to open your eyes to the big picture of our world, what's happening, and how we should live. So I think one thing is when you hear a so-called missionary, I say so-called, I think missionary is a terrible term. Missionary is just synonymous with follower of Jesus. If you're a follower of Jesus, then you're not at home. I think the tragedy is we somehow think this world is just home. So we've gotten comfortable. And if we identify more with being an American, whatever nation you come from, rather than being a citizen of kingdom, then you have a real problem, a real problem. And so that being said, I'll use the term missionary, but I think it very lengthy. And so I'm going to give you a glimpse into something I think is helpful about in just walking with Christ today. I do want to mention a few things. My wife is here. Our two youngest are here with us. Our two oldest are with grandparents. Because of the church, I'm taking great deal and whatnot, so I'll get that in. I'm going to say this at the beginning so that we don't forget, and also because it's the least important part, I think, of the whole thing. But there are a few books on the dinner table, if you're familiar with them. There's a book called What If Jesus Meant What He Said, which is on discipleship, and another called Prosper, which is written during a journey with cancer, and it's on enjoying intimacy with God, along with a couple of Bible study books. And I just want to encourage you, first of all, sure, if you want to get the 10 bucks for it, fine. If you want to just take them, that's fine. I'm not going to track you down at all. They're all available on our website in digital form. But the reason I share that with you is I want to make a plug, right? And this plug is not for these books. The plug is for books in general. We are growing up. I'm, after all, 41 years old. But we're in a nation, in an age where we don't slow down and process. And I'll say nothing made a bigger impact in my life than when we had to learn to read. I'm not talking about 5 years old. I'm talking about when I learned to read, as in recognizing the treasure that is there and really learning from just those that have spent not hours and days, but months and years of their life focusing on certain subjects. And I just want to encourage you, if you're not a reader, make it goal over the next year to read at least one book a month. Maybe you're more ambitious a couple of months or even one a week. That's my goal, is to read at least one book a week. And I just encourage you with that because I really believe for spiritual growth, it is absolutely a vital aspect. And also when you're thinking of Christmas gifts for especially young people, but anyone, give them books right to the front, a message to them. Again, I'm not saying these ones, but be intentional with investing in lives. Don't just give them some more junk that's gonna be thrown out. Give them something that will impact their life. Be intentional about how we invest and how we disciple others. So if something's impacted you, invest in others in that way. I also want to make mention that there are prayer cards in the back. The back is full of prayer requests for our family, but you might just want to steal them for your own family too. So I encourage you, please pick one of these cards and that will be a blessing to you. One final thing, although you can access it on here too, I put out daily devotional 5 days a week. And the reason for that is I want to encourage our generation, everyone's alive, to be in the Word of God daily. We have Bible reading plans, devotionals come from the reading that day. 5 days a week, and then on the weekend, you can then focus on other things pertaining maybe to the messages or what you're preparing for in the school. So that's that. It's all in the back. Feel free to ask me questions about it later. The resources are available in Spanish as well and other languages. I don't really care necessarily about the other languages right now. So. Maybe you are familiar, maybe you're not familiar, but unfortunately, my wife and I live in the land of Bangladesh, which is also that, as you call it, special interest area. Maybe we're special interest to God. We call them creative access. Bangladesh is a very intense issue when it comes to the situation with Christians. If you maybe have known me for longer, you know, I've been in Niger before, which is also the same type of country. In fact, I just want to make mention that a very I was taken hostage on Monday night, abducted from his home by Boko Haram. He's got 4 children as well, an American named Kevin Ryan, and he's got a report on the situation, although he knows anything since Monday. So please be praying for the Ryan family. If you want to stay in touch with that, feel free to contact me. But not much information is released since it is a major security issue. But thank you for Right. This week, we're dealing with a lot of persecution there. It's a constant thing. But I just got 3 days ago, and there's an entire city there, Bundaberg, that Christians have been subjected to a lot of political scenes and also a lot of persecution happening. This is pretty persecuted world in general. But as we go into Bangladesh this morning and kind of think through, I want to introduce you to the city we live in. We live in a city called Chittagong. Sometimes referred to as Chittagong. Chittagong is an understatement. We kind of give you just how crowded it is. If the Great Charlotte area was as crowded as our city, you're going to not believe my statistic, but that's totally fine. Go and research it yourself. I'm actually understating the statistics. If it was as crowded as our city is, the Greater Charlotte area, we can have, are you ready? 234 million people. Greater Charlotte area. Not just the very downtown Charlotte, little tiny area, would have 24 million people. It's actually a lot. I'm just getting dumbing it down, so I'm not exaggerating. That's our city. So to say our city is crowded, well, understatement. If you don't believe me, and your faith will turn. That being said, but what I'm going to tell you about is an opportunity which really is only divine. And I think that you'll see that in a minute. And I hope you'll try. And let's just pray for us, but ultimately pray for the soul in our city. I'm going to focus in on the opportunity. As we opportunity, let me just read for you a few verses. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. The reason I'm reading these verses is because they're very pertinent and specific to the ministry that God called us to. Because these are our and more than just our prayer for our team that's there. Now, our team is very small in that sense. You can say three families, but in my new role, which I'll talk about in a minute as director of the school, we have about 75 employees there, workers there, plus, of course, 550 children. And so, in many ways, that is the team, the teachers, and not all the admin are Christian, the teachers are. And so, as I pray for those I work among, the believers I work among, and also the foreigners that I work among, which are very few, this is my prayer. Verse 3, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, as it is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the church of God for your steadfastness and faith. We have to end the verse right there, but it doesn't end there. We have a prepositional phrase. In all your persecutions and in the afflictions that you are enduring. Where is this praise coming from? Where is this thanks coming from? Where is their faith and their steadfastness of faith coming from? In their persecutions and afflictions. Isn't that beautiful? That's our platform to show the goodness, the greatness, and the glory of God in our afflictions and persecutions. And we all have afflictions. And in some way or another, it is persecution if you are living godly as people. That's the promise of the scripture. Whoever lives godly in Christ will suffer persecution. If you don't have persecution, very because it does indicate you're not living godly in Christ. Because the world we live in is that enmity with God. And the reality is, if you're going to live godly life, there will be opposition. So that's not judgment on anyone. You're going to be looking at James 2, and the last verse you're going to look at is, mercy triumphed over judgment. I'm in no position to judge anyone in such a way, but I am certainly in a position to share the word of God. And that's the word of God. So let's take that to heart. But I want to take note of this. It says, the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. So I'm going to give you one more question just to think about. And again, not as judgment, but I hope conviction. It says, the love of every one of you for one another. That means every single person is loving every single person more. So I just want to ask you a little question. Who in this room are you not currently loving more, increasing in your love for them? Maybe that's where the focus starts. How do we love well the body of Christ? Because I'm going to talk a lot about the lost. But what's fascinating to me is that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, he told us how the world will know that we are his followers. Not by how much we love the lost, but how much we love one another. That's key. Because actually, it's easier for me to love my Muslim neighbors than to love my Christian brothers and sisters. You might say, that sounds strange. No, it's because somehow I may hold you to a higher standard, or maybe I expect something from you. But walking in these doors, you're literally walking into a building full of people who acknowledge how broken they are. Isn't that beautiful? We should expect the church to be a place of messy activity. Why? Because you've got a bunch of people that are actually coming into the light and saying, Lord, I need you. And so the church is a place, obviously, of salvation, but it's also a place of recovery. It's a place where we are, and I know my theology, my terminology might be a little theologically questionable when I say it like this, but it's a place, when I say of recovery, we are becoming more like the image that we were created in. Now, we know that we are being conformed to his image in Romans 8:29, and we know in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, that when we see him, we will be like him, for we'll see him as he is. So we're in that process, the journey of sanctification. So that Christ is my sanctification, which means from beginning to end, salvation and sanctification follow him. We don't want to be like the Galatians, who Paul calls foolish and bewitched, because they've started in faith in Christ's finished work, and somehow they thought the rest depended on them. Reality is, it's all Christ from beginning to end. So I'll leave those thoughts with you and just share with you a few prayer requests in the last 10 minutes remaining. Although the ministry God called us to does involve quite a media work, it involves equipping churches, and equipping churches can be everything from training to teaching the Word of God. And that is a major part of my personal life and our life as a family. We do have a focused ministry in Bangladesh, which we hope to be running in about 6 weeks. Visas are still pending, so we would ask your prayer for that. And it's certainly divine work, although some of the credit of the Bangladeshi government for the work of visas, we know very well, divine work. Bangladesh is a country that does not want people like us there. I mean, that's very obvious, very evident through any visa process. Just to give you an idea, even when we finally do get a visa, the moment we get into the country, we immediately start undergoing a security check. That security check happens with local police force, and it really depends on their opinion. And within 3 months, if they don't give it to us, then legally we have to leave the country again. You think, okay, what's that stuff? We do until next year. And next year, it's the same thing. Every single year, that is the process. That's the reason why. One reason why, specifically the Bengali people, are the most, you can underline that, highlight it, not even close, the most unreached people group in the world. World. By far. Not even close. I'm not saying that in like an impressive kind of way. I'm not saying that we're doing the most important work. What I am saying, the Bengali people out of every people group in the world is by far the least reached, most unreached people group in the world. And again, if you don't believe me, come visit. 1 out of 1,000 people in our city would be called a Christian, and that term Christian I'm using very loosely, but at the same time, it means it's lower than that. So 1 out of 1,000, most people we encounter, if we ask them, first of all, do you know who Christ is? The answer would be no. And they know the Jesus of the Quran. And secondly, do you know a Christian person? And most don't even know a Christian person. Isn't that well? Don't even know a Christian person. And what a privilege it is. If I currently, I can do this. Not visual, works better. I think I can, and I'll turn this flashlight on. But if I'm like that, nobody can even tell whether it's on or not. If I turn off, right now, do you know what's off? Off or on. Off or on. There's a lot of light in this room, and you really know that it's not around. I guarantee you, drop every light in this building, you'll know the flashlight's on. Light in darkness is tremendous. One of the prayers for the church is that we would care about more places in this world. I know the United States is friends, in another bubble of darkness. Talking about darkness when they turn on the radio, they don't find much radio station. Talking about a darkness when they turn the TV and on a Sunday morning for us, it's a Friday morning, Saturday's our weekend. They're not going to hear a preacher. talking about a darkness where they don't come across the word of God for them things. Talking about a darkness where they don't encounter a Christian, not only in their everyday life, but sometimes in their life. It's darkness. But we have the privilege of infiltrating the darkness. Now, you might say, well, you took almost all your time. Well, I had 6 minutes. In those last 6 minutes now, I want to take you to the opportunity God has given to try to tell me this is not a man. See, about 20 years ago, there was a woman named Mary Lou who moved to Bangladesh.
Now,
almost just to college, actually, she moved to Bangladesh. You can afford that. I was still in middle school. But 20 years ago, the Lord led her to start something. And actually, for a few missionary kids, including a little school. Well, I'm thankful for that because in today's environment in the country, for us to even start what she started back then, I'm not going to say impossible because I know that God, if impossible is the only objection, then it can be done. But humanly speaking, we can't do what happened 20 years ago. Well, the school was started by a woman with a vision. Vision of what it is today, but it started to morph into what it is. Well, it's called William Perry Academy. Now, what's amazing about the school is it's the only American, this is not the amazing part, it's the only American curriculum school in the nation. Nation, okay? We're talking a nation that is 200 million people, smaller than North Carolina. 200 million people in the nation, okay? I was talking before how proud our city is. We have 5 million, 64 miles squared. Now, the point is this, that makes this school very significant because anybody that wants their children to have an American education, well, they have one school on 200 million people to send their kids to. Even the United States Embassy School is not American curriculum. It's not even. Now, that said, not only is it that, it's all English education, which is significant. Even at the university level, all the textbooks are in English. And that's just because English textbooks are really popular uses at a higher academic level. All right, let's keep going. So we have a tool that is in our hand. Another thing about it is they have one of the worst passports in the world. When I say worst, I don't mean the way it looks. What I mean is their access in other countries. Getting visas is extremely difficult for them. But for whatever reason, whatever is good. He has allowed this school in a full favor where basically if children graduate from this school, they can get into almost anywhere from university. A lot of these students are in the United States, many are in the UK, Australia, other places, and study school people are clamoring to get into. It's amazing. This is amazing. It's Christian education. We have in our mandate that we teach from a biblical worldview. We use the Word of God to teach things like biology. To teach things like history, to teach things like speech. And so all of our teachers are believers. Now, I will present a need in 2.5 minutes that I really want you to do. But I also want you to do more than pray. I want you to actively talk about it with others because I believe that somebody here, not just one person here, will have a connection that God is going to use to answer this prayer. I really believe it. I'll give that to you in a minute. But you might say, okay, so who would send their kids to this kind of school? Our student body is made up of, are you ready for this? 85% Muslim children and 10% Hindu children in the world's most unreached place. That means that every day we have 95% of our student body walking in the doors in the most unreached place in the world. And they're coming saying, teach my kids for 9 hours through the lens of God's. Tell me that is not amazing. And so that's our opportunity. Well, our vision when we moved to Bangladesh was to start a school. This school is already going. And they cannot find owners to work there. Because who wants to live in Bangladesh? And I'm being honest with you. Again, don't believe me. I've been to well over 90 countries. I've never been anywhere in the world. That, in my opinion, is as backwards, and I say that respectfully, backwards, and a place you just wouldn't want to live in Bangladesh. That doesn't sound like a business. But at the same time, I can't think of anywhere I'd rather be living than Bangladesh. The air quality alone takes off 4.8 years of your life, worse air quality. We have China beating that. Now, let's keep going. So this is our situation. Well, we kind of originally we worked with the athletics and being a guidance counselor, teaching a couple classes. But the director of the school stepped down in January, and Brianna and I just were praying. We said, "Well, let's be willing." Long story short, being willing oftentimes being God says, "Do it." And through the Lord, I'll say great, but involving God in his patience and strength, he did indeed give us that position. So as we go back, I'm the director of the school, which means direct responsibility of the assembly and staff, along with the vision we have. More than that, because it's such an influential school, it's a lot of interaction with lawyers, with the government, and with the community as a whole. So it's opening up many new doors that we haven't seen yet. We ask your prayers for that. But being an American-based school, and more specifically than American English, what we really, really need, I mean, on every level, we need more foreigners to work at school because we lose credibility if we don't have that presence. And it's been such a struggle over the last 5 to 7 years to find anybody who's willing to come and teach. Again, unless the Lord calls, no one's coming to Bangladesh. You're not coming for the beaches. You're not coming for the food. It's not that. You're certainly not coming into the quality of life. You're coming in for souls. And I'm telling you, humanly speaking, nobody wants to come. We're praying for 6 teachers by next fall that are willing to come, at least 2 years, but we're praying for 6 teachers that would be willing to come and disciple our local teachers, how to use the classroom as a platform for the gospel, how to equip them with teaching methods for their teachers, but they've never been in the critical thinking environment growing up. And so this is my heartfelt prayer and my request of you. Would you actively pray for God to provide teachers for us? And would you actively pray for God to even give you wisdom to know who to talk to? And maybe even someone in this room, maybe a family in this room. You say, you know what? I think this is something we should sincerely pray about. The door is open. The laborers are few. The harvest is ready. So would you pray for us for this land of Bangladesh? Just some of the other things we could talk about. We have the largest refugee camps in the world, a couple hours from our house, the Rohingya refugees. There are many other things that God's up to in this land. But since my time is gone, I want to leave you with that main focus. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest. Pray for him to open up hearts in the Muslim world, in a persecuted world. We truly believe that Jesus Christ is coming back soon. We also believe many more souls that he is going to save. We know that he desires no man to perish, but all to come to the knowledge of the truth. Don't think yourself divorced from the situation. We're one body, with one mission. We're workers together. Would you pray fervently? When I say pray fervently, I don't just mean add us to a grip to your burdens. It's good. We'll take it. I want more. I want, please, listen to me. I want your next week to change because of your prayer life for Bangladesh. If that means one less thing you do, watching 2 fewer innings of the World Series, watching 1 quarter less college football, choosing to ignore your phone for 1 evening because instead you're going to pray for Bangladesh evening. But would you let your schedule change in one way this week for the sake of souls in Bangladesh? I believe the greatest work doesn't happen on our feet. It happens on our knees. If that's true, then would you be willing to be our co-worker in the gospel this week for the souls in Bangladesh? And as you pray for more laborers, very right. Father, I thank you for your work. I thank you for your work. I thank you that it's you doing the work. And Priyanka and I can't ever save one soul. We could live there our entire life, but we can't save a soul. But we are not the Savior. But we know the Savior, and we have a mouth. And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall one preach unless he is sent? And that's why Jesus Christ says, so send I you. I pray we be found faithful, both right here in the Charlotte area, even Friday night as the word goes out in various ways. But I pray that we be faithful on our knees, remembering that we are all missionaries. We are all one body. We are all workers together for one common goal, And that is for the vision we see in Revelation 5 and 7 of people from every nation, tribe, and tongue gather around the throne of your precious Son, worshiping the Lamb who was slain, saying, "Worthy is he to receive all honor and blessing and glory and power, for he was slain and has redeemed a people to you by his own." Is he worthy? Yes, your Son is worthy. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.